Amen. We thank God.
Father,
we thank you for the word. We thank you for the mystery of word this morning, Sammy, in the class. And now, Father, as we gather together as your body, we pray for Bob as he brings forth your word here today. Father, we pray that you would anoint him and bless him and use him in a powerful and profound way here today. Lord, not just these words to fall upon our ears and no response, but Lord, that they would cause a deep response from the deepest recesses of our soul. Father, move upon him and through him and to us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right. It's only by the grace of God that we all sit here today. Amen? Amen. Joe, stand up. This is your lovely wife, Marcy. Stand up a minute, just a minute. God, just give me a word for your daughter that she has. Now, I know she doesn't take this from you. I don't know you that well, Marcia, but she has a great musical gift, and that's something you guys need to nurture. I just had a vision of her on a stage with a drum set playing drums. So I don't know if does she have any musical ability or?
She's had a desire to play drums. Oh, she
sings. Oh,
but as she sings, I mean, she just.
Good.
Yeah, she's got a great spirit.
God says that's a gift from her, from him to her, that you need to nourish that, nurture that gift. All right? And she really loves you. I know it goes both ways. You're going to make a great mom. Amen? We love Joe. Even when you're not here, we love you, Joe. I wouldn't know about rhythm. I have absolutely no rhythm whatsoever. I know I met you this morning, young lady. Again, it was Tracy. Tracy, it's good to have you here today. When I shook your hand this morning, I feel you're a real prayer warrior. You love to pray for people. But a lot of women are a little bit timid in their prayer, like they go, like to go in a prayer closet and stuff. You're not like that. You are a bold lady. You'll run somebody down in the street to pray for them. Amen? And God says he's given you that boldness to use. You're afraid of nothing except for one thing. You're always asking God, am I doing what I'm supposed to? Am I doing enough, God? You never think you're doing enough. Well, God's telling you right now that this is my daughter, whom I'm proud of and I love. You're doing plenty. Amen? All right. Since we were talking about some old things, those of us that were around and say, I'm not sure on the time, but it was in the 70s, early 80s, they had a play that was called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. It might have been a book. I don't remember. Was it a book? It was both. Okay. 70s, I couldn't read. Not that I didn't have an ability. I couldn't see. But that reminded me of something, and I'm going to, and for our little foray into the word today, I'm going to change that around a little bit and say, your legs are too short to run from God. At least one. Everybody else, nobody else here has ran from God, right? One lady in the back ran from God. Not everybody else. Cody, you've never ran from God, have you? Say that again. Yes. All of us, all of the time. It's just not you. And I thought we would take a look today about, you know the old saying, you can run, but you can't hide. That especially goes well with God if you add that in there. You can run from God, but you can't hide from God. Like we watch, scientists watch rats in a maze running around and stuff, trying to hide. Now, where are they going to hide? That's how God feels when we try and run from him and try and hide from him. Well, I'm going to get one thing off the table right now. It's not a good idea to run from God. But it's even a worse idea to try and hide, because you can't hide from God. Let's get this one off the table right now. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Bottom line, God is saying, where are you going to go hide from him? It's like me right now, if I had a sheet of plastic and hold it up in front of me and say, you can't see me, I'm hid. It's ridiculous. But yet we think that we can run and hide from God. When we're running, there's no sense running unless there's some place you can hide, is there? Well, there's no place you can hide. So God's taking that out of the equation. But he will let you run for a while. But like the rat in the maze, God guides our direction. God guides where we go. We think we're running away from God. Where isn't God at? You want to run home, Joe? Hey, God's at your house, Joe. Right? Where are we going to go? Nowhere. But yet still we want to run. What do you think that is? Why do we want to run from God? Well, actually, there's several reasons, but it all boils down to one kind of root cause, and that's rebellion. Look around. We're a rebellious bunch. From day one, we've been rebellious. What does rebellious mean? We have to rebel against something. Is rebellion bad? No. Rebel against sin. Right? We could rebel against unrighteousness. What we're talking about is rebelling against God. And that boils down to rebellion because somehow we think we know better. Who knows better than God? Raise your hand. All right, now who's ever ran? Raise your hand. Everybody, right? So what are we thinking? The problem is sometimes we don't. It's just an instinct to run. We need to stop and think. What are we doing? Where are we running to? Why are we running? It boils down to rebellion. And rebellion, according to God, in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Divination simply means it's listening to a spirit or another voice other than God's. It's often used in a context that anything that isn't godly or occult or supernatural is used under this heading. And so listening to anything that is not coming from God is a sin. Any direction that's not coming from God is something we should not follow. It's a sin, actually, to follow it. Deuteronomy 18, verse 14 and 15. The nation you will dispose, listen to those. He's speaking about those people. Listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But for you, the Lord has not permitted you to do so. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Go to the next verse, please. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Again, God is saying it's a sin. Do not listen to other voices except my voice. And what is a prophet of God? A voice from God, a word from God. Who are pastors? The men that God has set here that we should listen to and obey. Correct? Obey nothing but the word of God. So this morning, I'd like to look at four reasons that we rebel against God, that we decide to take off and run. Right? I look around here and see a lot of people that aren't here that should be here that have ran over the years, right? Some have run back. Some have come back. Worse for the wear, but they come back. Others have not, and we're still praying. But don't get yourself into that. Don't listen to the enemy. When you're running, what are you doing? You're running away from God, not towards God. So if you're not running towards God, who are you running for? Towards the enemy, towards Satan, towards evil. Is that ever going to work for our better? No. I don't think we're going to have a fun time in hell. Right? That's where you're headed. But the four things I'd like to take a look at today is the reasons that we rebel against God is, first, sin. We like to sin. We're good at it. It's enjoyable. Sin feels good, or we wouldn't do it. How many here have ever had the sin of hitting yourself in the head with a hammer? Good, because I was going to pray for you if you did. Why? That hurts. It's a sin that makes us feel good. Temporary as it is, that we run for, that we look for. And when we're running towards sin, what are we doing? We're running away from God. The second thing is not wanting to obey God. Ooh. Has God ever asked you to do something that you didn't want to do? Ed, God ever asked you something that you really didn't want to do? Every day, right, Ed? Ed has a great prophetic gift. All the time, God's telling him, go to this person or that person, say something. That's hard to do sometimes, right? That's not easy to do. But, yes, he actually had a word for Pastor Keith. And it was a true word. He had talked to Pastor John. He had a dream in the night, the word for him. I'm not even going to share the word, but he went to Pastor John. He said, I don't know any of this. He said, go ahead and call him. He called him up, and he said he was actually on the phone with that person or whatever was going on right at that time. You know, everybody remembers when Prophet Ed comes in? He said, this is the only church out of the world that anybody gives him a word. He said he goes to all these, they're afraid to give him a word. Oh, my God, that's God's prophet. I couldn't say nothing to him. I know Bobby back there. Where's Bobby? Somewhere. Ed's had words. All kind of people have, he comes here to get a word. But let's face it, there's a lot that God has asked us to do that we don't want to do. The third thing, not satisfied where God has placed us. God, why did you put me in this church that I have to sit here and look at Joe? Why have you done this to me, God, that I have to have Pastor Don speak about my attire? You could have put me in a beautiful church. I have a friend that goes to the First Baptist Church in Novi. He took me over there a couple times. Oh, my goodness. That place is beautiful. I mean, I felt like taking my shoes off before I walk into their foyer. You know, they had like, you ever see that ice hockey thing where they roll that thing and the people are sweeping? They were actually, they have people that are there that when you walk in, if it's raining, they come out and mop. I said, God, why didn't you place me there? He said, this is where I want you. This is where you need to be. Amen. The Spirit of God is here and I have a part to play here. Thank you. And the last, but certainly not the least, of the four things I wanted to talk about was fear. Isn't that scary? Anybody ever been afraid of anything? Every time I look in the mirror, it scares me. That somebody could be that pretty. Talking about sin. First thing is sin. Let me read you a little story. Genesis 3. We don't take long. Right in the beginning, we're going to start to sin. Let's not mess around, all right? Let's get right into some sin. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Okay, this is real bright. We just talked about this, right? God created that tree, but I can hide behind it. Okay. God knew me before the earth was formed, but I can hide from them behind a tree. Aren't we bright? We do that, same as Adam. When we've sinned, we don't want to be in God's sight. When we sin, what's our inkling? To run away from God. You know what? When you sin, you should be running towards God. He's already made a provision. He's paid a price, sending his son to die for us. Why would we run away from him? Yet we do, don't we? But you know, God knows that that's going to happen, that this is going to happen. He just stands up there and goes, when they get tired of running, I'll talk to them. But sin is usually the main reason that we run from God, that we decide that we cannot be in his presence. So remember, when you sin, don't run away from God, run towards God, right? There's your answer, there's your forgiveness. The further you run, the easier it is to run. First thing when somebody wants to, is sinning, first thing, I could look around here and see who's not here today. Because when you're in sin, do you want to come in church? Do you want to be around God's people? You want to be in God's presence? No. I've had people actually, I've offered to pray for somebody and actually had, well, I don't want you to lay hands on me. God might show you what sin I'm in. If God wanted me to know, he'd have told me. Laying hands doesn't mean anything there. Who are you hiding from? Why hide your sin from me? You can't hide it from God. That's the one to worry about. He's going to judge you. Let's go to the second thing. I think we all pretty well understand that sin is going to keep us from God, right? Sin is going to make us run. The minute we sin, we're just like Adam. We want to run and hide. But another biggie, and probably the second most important, is not wanting to do what God asks. Now, if God asked me to go to Hawaii and save those heathen Hawaiians, praise your name, Lord, count me in. I can just see myself laying on the beach, I'll take a track and lay it on my stomach, and I'll take a nap. When I wake up, if the track is gone, I'll say, thank you, Lord, and put another one on and go back to sleep. All right? I'm with you, God. I'm going to Hawaii. We don't have a problem. You know what the problem is? And that's the rebellion. When he asks us to do something we don't want to do. When he asks us something we want to do, we're gung-ho. I'm hearing from God. God wants me to do this. That's right. Get out of the way. Don't get between me and that plane for Hawaii. Because I'm working for God. Which brings to mind, where is Sammy here? Up here. Oh, way at the back. That's where you belong. Sammy stole half my lesson today, as usual. Jonah, I was going to mention in this case. We all know the story of Jonah. And anytime we talk about somebody not wanting to do what God asks, we always think of the story of Jonah, don't we? It's a simple story. Jonah was a great prophet, a great prophet. He was prophesying all over the land. He prophesied in front of kings with no problem, boldly walk in, give some hard words, because he knew he was hearing from God. He knew it was God's voice. He was not a bit afraid to walk in front of kings and tell them what to do. Then God, one day, decides, Jonah, yes, God, I got a message for you to go give to the Assyrians, to the city of Nineveh. What? Okay, good, that you're going to strike them all dead. I'm with you, Lord, me and you. We'll go in there, you just strike them dead. We'll curse them, we'll do it. No, I want you to go in there and preach forgiveness. That if they turn from their evil ways and come to me, I will spare them. Jonah didn't like this. He knew his own people were condemned by God at this time. We're not listening to him and under condemnation and curse. And if they didn't change, God was going to wipe them off. But here he's scared to death that God is going to spare these Assyrians, people he hated. He hated them all the way back from when Israel and Judah split. The city of Samaria, was where Israel kind of took up residence. And God drove them out by using the Assyrians. And the Assyrians ran them all out, killed most of them, and brought five foreign tribes in and moved them into the city. So, do you think he was justified in not liking those people? Sure. Was he justified in not doing what God told him? No. That's what we have to look at, not our feelings. God, listen, God knows better than we do. God loved the Assyrians if they were to change. But Jonah didn't like the idea. He said, I'm running. Short legs and all, I'm out of here. He said, I'm running away from God. Now, which way is away from God to begin with? What he did was, and we do the same thing, he ran to Tarshish, was where he was going to head for. Why? Geographically, it made no difference. But in his mind, that was a heathen place. They served all kind of wild and woolly gods. They had all kind of spirits and divination. He said, this is a place that God won't be. That's where I can go hide. This is a place, this is an evil place. God won't be there. You want to find God? Go to an evil place. That's where God is working, right? What did Jesus say? It's the sick that need a physician. But yet in his mind, he thought that's where I would go and hide from God because God couldn't be there with the evil people. But God was there. There was one thing that always, that kind of stuck out in that story. One word, and that's down. I read this in something I read on Jonah a long time back, and I wrote it down, and I forgot about it, but I pulled it out. When I kind of went over it again and saw it, and it goes perfectly here. Down. In the book of Jonah, he says, I went down to Joppa. I went down into the ship. I went down into the sea. I went down into the belly of the great fish. When you're running from God, you're going down, 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 down. Nobody gets lifted up from running from God, do they? Just the opposite, down, down, down. He was in a fish's belly at the bottom of the sea. He had sunk pretty low, hadn't he? Why? Because he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach to somebody he didn't like. He wanted to rebel and not do what God asked him to do. I don't want to preach to those people I hate. We all have a Nineveh in our life somewhere. To this day, everybody sitting here has a Nineveh in their heart somewhere. Today, it might not be a city, but it's anything that pulls you out of your comfort zone. You know, I'm warm and cozy, sitting by the fire. I remember, I'll throw a Pastor Don story out here. I remember there was a time that I had met some people in the hospital. Their son was in a bad car accident, and they couldn't get a hold. And I just happened to go into the chapel. I just wanted to go check it out, and they come in, and, you know, I prayed for them. Just happened to be there. It's just a coincidence. Well, a few weeks later, their son apparently took a turn for the worse. They told him to make everything right. He was going to die that night. This was late at night, like 11 o'clock. They couldn't get a hold of their pastor. Now, I'm not knocking the church. I don't know anything about this church, but they could not get a hold of anybody. But they had a card in their pocket from our church that I gave them with my number on the back when I prayed for them that day. Guess who got called? 11 o'clock at night, I'm in my jammies, the one with the little feet, you know. I'm laid in bed watching a 42-inch TV, I'm not going to lie. I had a snack in my hand. All was good in Bob Land. Then God calls. You can ask my wife. I grumped all the way, but what did I do? I got up, started changing clothes. I was going to go to the hospital, which was in Southfield. I said, I'll be there as soon as I can. I got dressed, was just about ready, and got a call. Oh, we got a hold of our pastor. He's coming. Okay. All right, God. Did I pass the test? I guess it was a test. I don't know. You got me up dressed. You want me to do something now? So I put my bunny slippers back on, went back to bed. But anything, did I want to do that? No, I really didn't. But I finally figured out I am no longer dumb enough to say no to God. Don't ever do that, right? What does he say to us? Yes, yes, and an occasional no when it's really for our yes. Nineveh was a place of danger. Nineveh, us, is a place of discomfort. Nineveh is wherever, is whatever you hate that God loves. Of all people, why do you think he picked Jonah? Don't you think God knew Jonah didn't like the Assyrians? Yeah. He was trying to do something in Jonah's life, was what he was trying to do. God works everything out, not only saving the Assyrians, but teaching Jonah a lesson too. Put it to you simple. Listen to God and do what he says. You have nowhere to run. You have nowhere to hide. Just go, okay, right? Correct, Pastor? Pastor Don's living proof of that. The third thing, not being satisfied where God has placed you. We all remember the story of the prodigal son. My gosh, he had it great, didn't he? He was in a wealthy family. He wasn't the oldest son, so he didn't have all the responsibilities, but he was going to get an inheritance, lived in a big farm. He had it made. Living good, had pretty clothes, had a Cadillac out back. He was looking good. But you know what? He wasn't satisfied. This is not where I want to be. Having to work, he might not have had to work. He probably had farmhands, but I've got to go out and check on him. I've got to do all this. It smells. The pigs smell. I don't like to smell pigs. I'd rather go out and have fun. You know, I can hear them guys at the bars now singing and having a good time. Nobody in that bar ever had a good time. You don't go to a bar because your life is good. You go to a bar because your life is bad. Bars are filled with miserable people. But yet to this young man, that seemed like the high life, that what he wanted to do. I want to go out and have a good time. Forget all this responsibility. I don't want to do it. I hear that every time I run somebody down to teach, don't I? I don't want to do it. Does that work? You're going to do it anyway. I don't care if you want to. You're going to do it, right, Cody? See, now, Cody's one of the smart ones. We got some. They've learned now. They just say, what do you want me to do, Bob? But every time, you're blessed when you get up there, aren't you? That's the same way. And we're blessed to hear you guys. And ladies, we're blessed with a lot of great teachers here. Right, Ken? You owe me one. I haven't forgot about you. You owe me one. Ken was scheduled to teach, and he had to go away. Ken is probably our newest teacher. He's a late bloomer. But just because you're a late bloomer doesn't mean that you won't flower more than anything, right? He's been up there and done a great job, and I know you're going to do even more. Amen? Give Ken a hand. But like the prodigal son, we're never satisfied with where we're at. We're never satisfied. That's just the way we're built. You get a brand new car 5 years from now, you don't even care about it. You get a new car, I mean, you got your handkerchief out every time you walk by. Excuse me, don't lean on my car. Dust it off, right? 5 years, you don't even wash the thing. You're lucky if you put gas in it. You're not happy with it. You want a new one, right, Eddie? That's what keeps Eddie in business. They didn't want a new car, Eddie wouldn't have a job, right? But we're never... Thank you. But we're never satisfied, and that's with our place in God, too. We're never satisfied. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not satisfied. I would love to be a singer. That's something that, just in my mind, as little and dumb as it is, I think it would be so easy to be a singer. You don't have to do nothing. Right, Alex? You don't have to do nothing. You just crawl out of bed 5 minutes before church, walk in, give me the music. La, 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 la. And you're done. I'm gone home. Everybody plays. Yeah, okay. We don't see the hours of practice they put in, do we? But yet to us it seems that we're not happy with what we're doing. I know a lot of people that have great gifts that are always trying to do something else other than the gift that God has gave them because they're not satisfied. Just like the prodigal son, we're not happy And that's one. We love to run from our responsibilities. We're all born lazy. Come on. Men might be better at it. We just show it better, but we're all a little bit lazy at heart. What we're saying is we don't want to be in God's purpose, plan, or will for our life. And that's the only place you're ever going to be happy. Don't rebel against where God has you. The only places you're going to be happy, no matter how hard it is in God's perfect plan for you. That's the only way you're ever going to be content. And the last thing, since this is getting close to Halloween, I had to throw this one in.